no technology is a panacea. This week, we hear from a man who thinks Silverlight will be a mistake. A mistake that most of us will regret in a year or two. Who is this person? What are his credentials? He's Neil Ford. He's a software architect, nationally known speaker, and author. On this show, he tells us what's wrong with Silverlight. Coming up on the Sparkling Client podcast.
Hello, I'm Eric Mork.
And I'm Monica Mork. Welcome to the Sparkling Client podcast. Sparkling Client is a podcast about Silverlight and other web client technologies. You give us 15 minutes of your time, and we give you the tools to build amazing web clients. This week, we present an interview with Neil Ford of ThoughtWorks. Eric, tell us about Neil.
Well, Neil is nationally known, and he's sort of a jack of all trades. He does a lot. He does Java, C Sharp, Ruby, functional languages, etc. He's been in the industry a long time, and he's done a lot of things like speaking and being an author, and also he's in the thick of it as an architect.
Great. Now, this week's show is a little bit different than normal. Why are we doing it?
Well, I think it's so important to take a rational approach to thinking about what technology we use. Oftentimes, we as geeks, we get so caught up in a particular technology that we get swept away. We look to all the good things about the technology, and we don't look at any of the bad things. And I really don't want that to happen. So here's what we're going to do on this show. We're going to have Neil on, and he's going to present the sort of negative view of Silverlight. He's going to tell us why it may not be the next greatest thing. And I think that that's going to help us be able to put Silverlight in a much better and fairer place. And I do want to say that Neil is very good at presenting this other side, a side that I don't particularly agree with. Now, you probably know that I'm a pretty big Silverlight apologist, so you may be wondering why I don't jump in and argue the point. And that's not really what the show is about. The show is about letting Neil have his say. He has a lot of interesting things to say, and I think it behooves us all to sit back and listen and carefully consider what he's saying.
Okay, let's listen to the interview now.
Okay, and I'm here with Neil Ford of ThoughtWorks. Thank you very much for joining us.
Certainly, my pleasure.
Now, Neil has a contrarian view about Silverlight, which I'm very interested to hear. Neil, would you care to summarize?
Absolutely. So back several years ago, Joel Spolsky had a really brilliant blog post where he said that the key competitive advantage that Microsoft had was the Win32 API. And he was right, because that was the thing that everybody had to write to the Win32 API, and that's what made them dominant on the desktop. That's the thing that Netscape actually took away from Microsoft, was this reliance on Win32 API, because what Netscape did was show people that you can write rich enough applications in a browser to make them actually work. And Microsoft had to kind of follow, because it was the first time that they'd seen any real serious competition to the Win32 API monopoly that they had created. And everybody shifted to that and got accustomed to this idea of a standards-based way to build applications, because nobody owns the standard. I mean, people, you know, cheat on the edges. Microsoft cheats. Firefox cheats. Everybody cheats on the edges. But fundamentally, it's pretty open and standard. And then Flex came along and started talking about building actual applications in Flash. And Microsoft came along with Silverlight, and that is fundamentally, from both companies, a platform play. They're trying to reestablish the monopoly around a platform, because even though Silverlight runs on all the different operating system platforms, if you build an application in Silverlight, it's got to stay in Silverlight forever. It's not an open standard anymore. And it's really surprising to me how short our memory is as a profession, in that we learned that being tied to a single vendor platform is bad, and then that pain kind of goes away and everything goes web-based, and we kind of forget that. And then when it comes along again, it happens to us again. Hmm. And that's why Microsoft is so interested in this. That's why Adobe is so interested in this. That's why Sun's doing JavaFX, because they see this platform play coming and they don't want to be left out of it.
Let me remember here. Isn't it true that managed code, isn't it written to the common language specification?
It is.
So, and isn't that an ECMA spec? So couldn't somebody conceivably come along and write Silverlight substitutes for other platforms or what have you?
You could, but nobody's going to bother. And so, I mean, they are writing on Moonlight, the version that runs on Mono. But ultimately, this is a platform play. Microsoft sees this. I mean, sure, somebody will come along. I mean, how many alternate implementations of C# do you know? It's an ECMA standard, too. And there's kind of one, but nobody really wants to invest the time. I mean, that's pretty much just a way of saying, look, we're not being really monopolistic about this. We're willing to open this up to anybody who wants to implement their own version of it, but virtually nobody does. And in fact, they're doing a better job of that than Adobe is, because Adobe is kind of a walled castle around their Flex stuff. And so this is kind of a defensive play on Microsoft's part, and of course JavaFX too, because they're in the same boat. Now, having said that, I actually think that Silverlight is not suited for most web applications. It's really brilliant for visualizations and reporting. I've seen a lot of really great demos. I saw one not too long ago. It was this really nice, it was movie history, a box office history for movies, overlaid on top of one another with these bands that showed, you know, the peak box office numbers, and then it trailed off, and then the next one would come along in the peak numbers, and you could click on it and drill into it and back and forth, zoom back and forth. That's the perfect use for something like Silverlight, because it's just flat out hard or impossible to do that in the standards that we have, JavaScript and CSS and HTML and all that stuff. So for those kind of visualizations, it's perfect. But trying to build a business app in it that is basically just input forms and workflow, it's a really bad platform for that, because it only works on platforms that support Silverlight, which means all the desktop platforms, but I have an iPhone and it won't work on an iPhone. The iPhone has a real browser in it that has HTML and JavaScript, but it doesn't do Silverlight. It may eventually do that, but it's going to be really heavyweight to do that when I'd rather have just simple interoperability. There's no compelling reason for me to build a wizard kind of thing in something as heavy, relatively heavyweight as Flex or Silverlight. So the way, and it's hard to test. We have established testing techniques and good separation of concerns for HTML, AJAX, JavaScript. You can write unit tests for JavaScript. You can TDD it. There's a wide open API. It's a standard language out there that anybody can write to. We at ThoughtWorks have actually done some work on being able to test Silverlight. We've created this, it's internal right now, but we'll probably eventually open source it, framework for testing Silverlight applications. But you can't get as far into that as you can something like JavaScript, because it's, you know, you only have access to the APIs that they actually open up for testability. And for building business applications for us, I mean, we're a, you know, militantly agile shop. We unit test and functional test and acceptance test everything. Platforms that are hard for us to test are less appealing for us. And so we tend to treat those kind of rich visualizations as reporting mechanisms or visualization mechanisms, not a way to build like the workflow part of an application.
To be a devil's advocate for a moment, so one problem that web developers, and actually I've run into with writing AJAX applications, is that because it's different flavors of AJAX on the different browsers, we run into subtle problems on operating system and browser combinations that we haven't tested. Like, you know, XML parsing was breaking down on Opera on a Mac, you know, for some reason. With Silverlight, in theory, those problems go away. And it would seem like that that might be at least a partial advantage.
A partial advantage, but, you know, using open standards is messy. CSS is messy. HTML is messy. AJAX is messy, but it runs everywhere. So that's the price you pay for this kind of ubiquity that you can't really get with Silverlight. I mean, they don't have Silverlight working on Windows Mobile yet. When is it going to show up on Symbian or Palm or the iPhone SDK? And what is it going to be? Is it going to be the full-blown Silverlight 2.0 that you see in the browser? I don't know. It's probably going to be some kind of scaled-down version. And now you have something that is basically a proprietary platform. And what if it's broken? in the JavaScript world, if you have an AJAX library that's broken, you can either tweak it and fix it yourself, which nobody wants to do, or you can go to another AJAX library that offers the same kind of support and just kind of plug and play and switch some of those kind of things out. And when you have a singular platform, you always run into this problem of, oh, it's broken and it's a legitimate bug. When is it going to be fixed? Oh, well, you know, within the next year, we'll release an update that will fix that problem. And that's scary for a lot of companies. In fact, that's what ran a lot of companies toward building web applications to begin with. Because let's face it, if you're building an internal application for your business, it doesn't make a huge amount of sense from a from an effective development standpoint to build as a web app, but frees you from being tied to a particular platform. And that's really part of the impetus that pushed us toward web development, was this common, open, messy space that runs everywhere that nobody owns. And now the pendulum's swinging back toward the other way. And I think that there's kind of a clash of titans going on with Adobe and Microsoft, and Sun just a little bit with JavaFX, the also-ran version of this, to establish a new proprietary platform.
So you would probably say then that when we look back, say, a year from now, we'll see people who have adopted Silverlight for business applications, and they'll probably be wishing they hadn't, or rewriting those applications in for technologies that are more open standards. Is that fair?
That would be my guess. I mean, some people are going to build them, and they're going to be perfectly happy with them, and they're going to work well, and, you know, everything's going to be fine. But other people are going to build them, and, you know, anytime a new technology comes along, people figure out inappropriate ways to use it. So a lot of public-facing websites are going to build Silverlight apps, and then they're going to be very unpopular, because Silverlight is fundamentally not a web technology. You can't deep link into it. So so here's the example. Let's say that Nokia decides that they want to build their Silverlight. Everything is Silverlight. Or Flex. Same thing is true with Flex. Or, in fact, some of the other frameworks like GWT, which tries to insulate you from all this messiness of JavaScript and HTML and all that stuff. So right now, because Nokia is an HTML site, you can actually go find a model phone that you want, copy the address, and send it to somebody and say, hey, here's the phone I want. Versus sending them an email and saying, okay, go to the Nokia site, click on the products link, and then click on this, and then click on, you know, item number, yada, 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 and that's the phone I want. If you can't deep link into it, it's not a web technology. If the back button doesn't work correctly, it's not a web technology. It's a nice visualization, but it's not web technology. And so people are public-facing sites are going to build these. In fact, now there are a few Flex-based sites that I go to that are really annoying to me because they don't act like regular web applications. And so there's an expectation, especially for public-facing websites, that they're going to act a certain way. And anything that violates those is kind of annoying. Now, for building internal company apps, I think that a lot of people are going to build really rich Silverlight applications for doing very mundane things that you could do in HTML. And what they're going to have is really pretty, untestable, singular platform applications, which may be okay for some companies. But inevitably, you'll run into some things like, ooh, we want to be able to do this. Oh, this actually won't do that. And then you're stuck. Because every time you get something that is based around a framework like that, that's not as far down and not as generalized as the Win32 API or as HTML and JavaScript, you run into what I refer to as Dietzler's Law.
Really?
I used to work at a consulting company where we did a lot of application development in Microsoft Access. And you can build really nice applications in Access really fast that do 80% of what the user wants to do. And with some extra effort, you can do the another 10% of what the user wants, but then that last 10% is impossible because you can't get underneath the framework and the tooling and all that stuff. That's what I refer to as Dietzler's Law. That was one of my colleagues who coined this term, because ultimately we stopped doing Access applications because users want 100% of what they want. And anything that comes just shy of that, but you can't possibly get it to happen, they're not going to like it. They're going to reject it. And you can never predict what that last 10% is going to be, but it's always there. And so I predict a lot of companies are going to build these really rich, whether it's Silverlight or Flex or Air or whatever applications, and they're going to get really close to what the users want, but they can't get all the way there, and they're going to abandon that and go back to a messier, more general purpose combination like HTML and CSS, JavaScript, etc.
Okay, so let's do this. Let's assume that I give you $100 million and a mandate to fix the future for the web. What do we do? What steps do we take?
Well, unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that. Mm. I mean, right now, it's actually not bad, in my opinion, because we understand HTML and CSS and AJAX pretty well. We can build pretty good applications with it. I've seen some stunningly good applications written in that combination of technologies. No, it's not the easiest thing in the world to build, but it works pretty much everywhere, and that's pretty nice. I think that we are going to see some revolutions in the way that you build web applications, but I think that those are primarily going to be built on top of the standards that we've already got in place. Mm. And I think that we're going to see more of these kind of rich visualization frameworks, and when used appropriately, they're going to greatly enhance web applications because, I mean, reporting is something that HTML and CSS does terribly. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Flex and Silverlight are going to do really, really well. So I think we're really going to see a lot more composite sites, especially if people are very careful about the way they build them, where it is a really intelligent combination of HTML and AJAX and CSS and Silverlight or Flex for visualizations, because those are the things they do brilliantly well. And I think that's actually a really good, appropriate use of technology. Use the thing that it's strongest for the thing that's most appropriate for it. Rather than going whole hog and saying, oh, we're going to write everything on Earth in Silverlight, that's not an appropriate use of technology. Just like going whole hog and saying, we're going to write everything in the universe in applets was not a good use of technology either. In fact, that backlash was so hard that people don't even use applets for the things that they're good for, which is visualization.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting story. I mean, it's good to learn from the past, I guess, is the rule there.
Well, that's part of my point is that nobody I seem to talk to really views this as the platform play that it really is. And I think it's perfectly okay. I mean, there's nothing evil about it. I mean, if I were Microsoft or Adobe, I'd be doing exactly the same thing. But you have to have a realization of what is the appropriate use for technology and use those things wisely. And if you do that, you can build really state-of-the-art, rich web applications that are stunningly good.
Great. Neil, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
That's a lot of good information to think about. Thanks for listening. Eric and I work for Silver Bay Labs, the company Eric founded. If you want to know more about what we do, see silverbaylabs.org. The music for today's show is used with permission and is from teamyacht.com and magnitude.com. For more information, see the show notes page.